You're listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, episode 438. Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, the podcast that is designed for female entrepreneurs who want to make more money in a way that is in alignment for them. If you're looking for practical advice, proven strategies, and expert insights to help you navigate the challenges of growing your business, then you've come to the right place. Welcome, my friend. I am your host, Angela Henderson, a proud Canadian living in beautiful Australia, and I'm a business coach, consultant, and strategist who has helped thousands of women around the world build successful businesses. Through solo episodes and interviews with successful business owners, industry experts, and thought leaders, you'll get insider insights into what it takes to succeed in today's digital age. Whether you're struggling to scale your business, looking for ways to boost your productivity, or seeking ways to overcome the challenges of being an entrepreneur, this show has everything you need to succeed and more. So subscribe, pop your headphones on, and get ready to creating the business and life you deserve today by allowing the Angela Henderson Online Business Show help you create a winning strategy, develop the right mindset, and build lasting wealth. Hey there, you, my friend, and welcome back to another amazing podcast episode with me, your host, Ange from Angela Henderson Consulting. And today we're diving into a topic that doesn't get nearly enough airtime, and that, my friend, is speaking. I freaking love speaking. And speaking might just be the most underrated growth strategy that you have been ignoring, and I want to change that today. So joining me on the podcast is the incredible Jacqueline Brooker, a fifth generation entrepreneur, certified speaking professional, and the powerhouse behind Any Given Tuesday. She has helped, wait for it, Olympians, global brands, and thousands of experts build speaking-driven businesses that scale with clarity, confidence, and what we love, cash flow. If you've ever wondered how to turn your voice into your most powerful asset, then you're going to want to listen to this episode. So get your pens and paper ready and get ready for all levels of awesomeness. Welcome to the show, my friend. So good to have you here today.
It's so good to be here. I'm so looking forward to our conversation.
I know. Now, I only just recently saw you probably about 4 to 6 weeks ago. You were running your own event at the Gold Coast. And I was just like, yes, this is what we're talking about. Speaking is your realm. You light up the room and your knowledge about this particular topic is unbelievable. So I'm so excited to have you here today.
Oh, thank you so much. I know that we did see each other, and that's it made me almost double down on getting to this interview and this conversation.
You had such an amazing group of people that you brought together at your conference. And yes, the word uplifting is good, but it is just like there is magic in the room. And so that's why, again, I'm just so excited to have you here today so that others can feel the magic. Now, before though, we jump straight into this podcast episode specifically around speaking, which I believe, and I think you would believe, is probably one of the most underrated growth strategies out there. Can you share with the listeners in a few sentences who you are, what you get up to? Because not everyone might know who the amazing Jacqueline is.
Yeah. And also because our brand doesn't actually say what it is, which is a whole different conversation. But
yes,
I'm a professional speaking coach, and people think that means main stage. But I help everybody from a business owner through to an actual expert, academics, right through to motivational, inspirational speakers, actually get the stages that make a difference for them. So we collide the craft of speaking and how to make something really sticky and really memorable and hold an audience in the palm of your hand with a strategy to actually really drive a difference. So either getting you bigger and better stages if you want professional speaking, but most of the people we work with actually need it to grow their businesses and their ecosystem. So we collide strategy and craft.
I love it. And something you mentioned there, but it was around it's not just big stages, right? Speaking can be holding a webinar or a masterclass. Speaking can be when you host your own live event. I think for me, speaking is an opportunity wherever we can use our voice to amplify something. What are your thoughts about that? Because so many people think it's got to be the big stage, but I disagree.
I completely disagree and really passionate about it. And we're going to start speaking a lot more about this. But speaking is, you're right, it's any place where you hold a room, right? So that could be a boardroom, that could be a podcast, that could be a webinar, that could be your own small events, that could be client events. It can be small rooms, big rooms, it can be free stages, paid stages. It can be a local, it could be national, it could be international. It is wherever you can actually use your voice, and we're calling it your spoken word content. We need to think about our spoken word content and how that can actually help us stand out in a really noisy market. And I believe that it's also, it's not just about the opportunity to speak. The reason why we teach, why we focus on professional speaking is when we teach you how to put together a keynote that is good enough to hold a room, you can do any speech in any format, including fireside chats and being panelists and things like that. You can take all the elements we teach you and do any form of speaking, and it just changes the game.
And it does. It changes the game for many things. And I know we'll talk about that in a minute. But one of the things I want to tap on is you said spoken word content. And I think in a world where AI has its place and it's moving faster than I think 99% of the world even realizes, is that there was an emotional connectiveness I felt when you used the word spoken word content, because that to me is something now, and you can describe it your way, but for me, it felt like that's something that's coming from within me. That's something that's coming from the heart. Yeah. That's something that is going to have a connection piece with other humans and leave them better off than when they found me. So I'm going to ask, how important is it in this day and age than ever before to make sure that the content that we're utilizing to speak anywhere of those examples you just used is driven from us versus AI? What are your thoughts?
Oh, it's like I could rant about this for the next three episodes that you've got coming. Mm-hmm. And if we start with the start, the reason why I use the word now spoken word content is we need to think about it as content. People think about it as speaking. Think about mm-hmm. it as content and mm-hmm. think about it as one of your products, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. When it's your spoken word content and you hit the nail on the head, it comes from within. There is this thing that we work with that I'm listening with every single person we work with, which is what I call a point of resonance. Mm-hmm. And point of resonance isn't hypey and pumpy. It's when people suddenly slow down and their voice drops and their breathing drops and they relax. And as human to human, people to people, we actually unconsciously respond to that because we know that this is the truth of who we're hearing from. And you can't replicate that in AI. The other thing is, at the moment, we have an incredibly big program running. We run one intense program every year. We have a number of programs, but there's one really intense one where people get on stage at the end of the year. You were at that event last year. And what's really incredible is I'm having to almost be like, I don't know, a narky old headmistress from the 1800s to get people to get off chat, because even when they feel like it's them and it's in their voice, it actually isn't, because it's lost resonance. And so, you know, it does things, I call it stack triplets. Our language models learn from the internet, so they know that the brain likes three, so it does everything in triplets, but it stacks them. So what you're doing to an audience is you're actually pinging their brain.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so there's so many different things. And one particular client who I've got at the moment, I actually told her to go and rip up her entire script, because when she naturally and organically gave me her stories before she even started the process, she was more powerful, more compelling than getting chat to brainstorm with her. And this is the thing that we're missing, where it's the one place where you can't default. You can use chat to give you a framework. You can use chat to brainstorm and get you off a blank page or whatever your platform is. And it's a distinct difference. Like this time last year, it wasn't an issue. This time this year, I'm a broken record, and we have to get off it.
I agree with you. There's a time and place for it. But in my experience as being a speaker, you want to captivate an audience. You want them, like you said, to be feeding off the palm of your hand, right? And I just feel that when chat is so heavily used, it's like even emails now, I can read who's written an email in chat. It's so easy to see, and it's starting to become easier to see on stage. People fumble with their words. Things aren't congruent. Things just feel off.
We've got to remember, it learns from the biggest data set in the world, which is the internet. The internet is inherently sales-based, no matter what we want to say about it, right? And so everybody gets pushed into the same lane. Everyone gets pushed into the same homogenistic. So if you think about it, it's learning from the internet, the biggest data set in the world. So it's bell-curving us, and it's putting us straight into the middle and the average. It's bell-curving us. And if you want to stand out, you can't be in the middle of the bell curve.
No. You want to become remarkable. You want to become memorable. And that's a great feeder into... You and I know, and again, we could talk about this for hours, the power of speaking, but I'm curious to know your thoughts around what can speaking actually do to unlock someone's growth potential and strategy for their business.
You ask questions that I know you want a quick answer, don't you?
I'm like, whatever comes out. Do you know what I mean? There's no wrong or right, fast or slow.
So with regards to that, so I think speaking is everything, no matter who you are. And so here's the thing. I have a fundamental core value where I believe in the power of microeconomic empowerment, which means economic empowerment at the individual level. The only way you can have economic empowerment at the individual level, if we think from the most disadvantaged to the most advantaged, is actually to have a voice and to be able to be heard. So when you translate that into entrepreneurship, business owners and experts, what does it unlock for you? It unlocks the ability to persuade and influence. It unlocks the ability to enroll people in your idea and your vision. It allows you to claim authority positioning and credibility. It allows the world to fall in love with the problem that you solve. It allows you to bring wisdom into the world from your own lived and worked experience. It actually allows you to really take center stage. When I first moved to Brisbane, which is 12 years ago now, I didn't know anyone, and my kids moved back to live with their dad. I knew my mom. And I put together a 20-minute presentation. So yes, I'm a CSP, I'm a professional speaker, but I put together a 20-minute presentation for this network that I found, which was similar to BNI, and 17 chapters across Southeast Queensland. And I went and delivered that 20-minute presentation to those 17 chapters in a city where no one knew my name, and generated $200,000 in coaching revenue in a matter of weeks. And not only that, people who heard me then 12 years ago, I bumped into one of them just recently, and she was like, oh, we need to get you back.
How amazing is that? So good.
Right? Like, people think about big stage, and it does. It absolutely, like, the biggest stage, my first major big stage was 500 people, and I was a subject matter expert growing my business. I wasn't paid to be on it. It doesn't mean you can't get those big stages or small stages or wherever you feel comfortable, but it unlocks everything, right? It unlocks the ability to sell. It unlocks the ability to position. It brings good people to you and gets rid of the noisy idiots that you shouldn't be getting into your world. So there's so much about it.
What I liked here is something that is often people are looking for the quick fixes. Quick fix. Yeah. I got to get in. I got to make money. I got to do this. But you and I both know business is a long-term strategy. And so with speaking, that example that you just used is you went 12 years ago, gave this presentation, bumped into someone. And so you had short-term game. Yes. But you still have long-term game because they saw you, they remembered you, and you've just been invited back again. Right. And so when you use your voice for good and you can captivate an audience by using something like one of Jacqueline's frameworks, whatever, instead of a program, you have the ability for this to be something that has, it's just a, like an ongoing ripple effect. The doors just keep unraveling more and more, because as I talked about at your event, is conversations equal connections, which equal conversions. Or when I say conversions, it's not just dollar conversions, but opportunities. And I believe speaking gives so many opportunities for people. And the other thing that I'll say is people always think, again, the big stages. Some of my highest converting events that I've been to is rooms that have less than 20 people.
I absolutely agree with that. And particularly if you're actually speaking to claim authority and credibility and for your business growth, the size of the room does not matter. The people are in the room.
And that's why there is sometimes I can see people doing like free events, and I'm all about free events. There's normally method to the madness, but I also believe energetically like attracts like. So if you have a room of people where no one paid anything, for example, and you might have 500 people in there, more than likely, statistically speaking, they're going to not want to be prepared to pay with their credit card because they haven't done it at the front end. Whereas in those smaller, more intimate rooms that I'm typically in, they're paying for something. So their mentality is they already understand investing. They already understand the power of proximity. So, you know, again, I just want to really hone into the listener out there today that like bigger isn't always better, that it is not only a short-term growth strategy, but something that if you do it well and understand how to speak, again, like working with someone like you, they can really make this, and not just in this business, because most people will cycle in 7-year cycles into something else. Your voice allows you to have an impact for your legacy later on in life and so many other things.
If I can just pull up on that as well, because I first learned to speak about 20, 25 years ago, and I did it to grow multi 8-figure growth in the business I was in. But my next two startups, to your point about this, my next two startups, I didn't launch until I had a presentation. And because of that, even in regional Queensland, from central Queensland, I was able to really quickly go to multiple 6-figure pipeline. But I didn't actually launch them until I had that presentation ready to go. And that presentation, so we're talking about, and I'm a big believer in strategically free. Like, I have no problem with free if it's strategic. And people don't understand that part of it. But you also have to actually be solving something for the audience, shifting perspective for the audience. So many people, there might be people listening who are like, well, I am speaking, but I'm not getting anywhere. Usually because you haven't framed it well, It's not serving the audience, and it's not something they can take away and use whether or not they ever see you again. There's generosity that has to come into this.
Absolutely. Now, we've talked about what can unlock someone's growth strategy by speaking, but now I want to shift the gears a little bit and go, why do you think speaking is the most overlooked strategy for growth in business?
The really quick answer to that is everybody seems to think they can do it later. They can wait. I'll do my funnels, I'll do my master classes, I'll do this, I'll do that. I'll make sure my LinkedIn's okay. And everyone thinks they can wait. Nothing beats, and you and I both know this, nothing beats belly to belly, eye to eye connection physically in a room. And the reason why it's the most overlooked thing is that people don't understand. So if I give you an example, somebody we worked with was a business coach. She was speaking everywhere, but then heard me speak and realized she'd never actually got any business out of the speaking. Everyone loved her. Everyone got her back. She really enjoyed it. She felt like she was in service. All we did was we reorganized her existing content in her speech. The next time she spoke in a room who knew her, she sold six people into her private coaching program at 15K each. So that was 90,000. And without even trying to pitch, somebody approached her and booked her. Fully paid as a keynote speaker at their conference and paid for her and her team to go to Hamilton Island. Same room, reorganized content. And people just think it's something they can do later. Other people think that they have to get to a certain standard before they can do it. And I can tell you right now, when I took over a family business at 3.6 million, took it to 4.2 million, we then went from 4.2 to 22.4 million in 15 months. And the number one reason we were able to do that is I got out of my own way. And I got speaking in every room I could find. I owned that market.
Now you talked just over there. I do want to say it's not a question I have, Dan, but let's just go there. Is that you said speaking in every room that you can. Now let's talk about the speaking for free and speaking for paid, right? And I find Australia to be one of the worst for this, in my opinion. Maybe it's just the Facebook groups that I'm in or whatever. I don't know. But it's like, everyone, and it's probably more the groups as I'm talking about this, everyone thinks that you should have to be paid all the time. If you don't pay, you're devaluing your worth. I've heard that if you don't pay, this is why women can't get speaking later on, whatever. And so I want to know, what are your thoughts about getting in the room? My thoughts are, I'm happy to be paid, but if it's a great opportunity and it's a win-win for both parties, I'm also happy not to get paid. I'm very strategic about when I'm asking for money and when I'm not, and they can both work. But what are your thoughts? Because sometimes I hear, nope, blah, blah, blah.
I think some people, and I'm a big advocate, as you know, for making sure you're paid for your value and you're paid to speak. And also, people think it's an either or, it's a this and, right? So you can speak for free and you can be paid. So there's two points I'd love to give the people listening. And the first one is this, is if you're going to speak for free, which I mentioned before, make it strategically free. So you know how to assess an opportunity and know that you're going to get something out the back end of it, right? Make it strategically free. And we have a few levels. We have what we call pro bono, which is free, low bono, which is where you'll do it for less because it's a cause you love or something like that, and then full fee. The point of when I work with people is I actually, at the end of the day, if you want to be a professional speaker, then it has to be a paid trajectory. If you want to grow your business, then it should be a combination of both. Whichever one it is, what you need to do is to be in a position where you are good enough to get paid and you can make the choice about being free.
Love it.
What most people do is they get into this narrow tunnel of, I'm speaking for free to get moving, but they don't position and value themselves enough to be able to break out of free and they get stuck in that lane. And there's some heartbreaking stories of that. And they also don't know how to generate from the opportunities. There's the other side where I'm an emerging breakthrough professional speaker and I need to be paid. And you do. But if your diary is empty, take the damn gig. But we have a whole strategy around if you're speaking for free, at least be positioned at a price point. And I know you are this. And so that if you're speaking for free, there's a value exchange and you can negotiate videography, photography, testimonials, key introductions, all of those sorts of things. And that's what I mean by strategically free. I have been, as you know, we've been really running fast in this business here. So at the moment, I've got a couple of free things happening that I shouldn't have said yes to because it was literally somebody asked me, I know them really well. I said yes, and I was not strategic about it. So even when we're really experienced, I'm 22 years in now, we can still make that error. And that's what I want to say to people. If you do still show up with full integrity, which is what I'm going to do with these two engagements, and it's not one of them's not yours, but I'm going to show just in case people see I'm speaking in any of your stuff. But there was two that I said yes to that I should have said no to because they weren't strategic decisions. But if you do make that mistake, you still need to show up in full integrity.
I agree 100%. And they're always learning opportunities. Like you said, you're able to go back and reflect and go, I could have done this, but I'm with you about strategy. There was a client of mine, bless her, I adore her, but she said, I want to speak at your Women in Business conference. And I said, but my audience isn't your audience. I said, so I said, you would bring value. Yes. So I said, I would be happy to have you on stage because I know my people will love you. But as your business coach, this is a really bad move. You're going to have to pay for, because for the, what she's like, I'll come for free and do all this. And I was like, do you hear what you're doing right now? I was like, I'll come for free, which means you've got to now take time out of your business. You've got to get on a plane. You've got to pay for that plane ride. You now have to pay for hotels. You have to pay for food. You've got to do all that. Now, yes, it's a business write-off. I get it. But my audience is not going to be a post-funnel sale. Because they're two completely different audiences. I said, so what do you gain out of this? And I also believe that sometimes we say yes because our ego gets in the way. I was asked to speak in America a couple of years ago, and I was like, I almost said yes. Thank goodness I stopped, because the first thing I thought about was being able to get pictures on stage with this person. And I was like,
might be one of the ones I've just said yes to.
Yes. And I was like, that is like the no, it's a no. Do you know what I mean? I was like, what am I? I was like,
no.
And I was like, because I was going to have to pay for the flight. They were going to put me up for a hotel, I think. But I was like, they get all the wins. I get nothing. So always, again, in my opinion, making sure that you've got the right audience, that you've got something that you can funnel them to, et cetera. And that's a whole other conversation, but that's where I'm like, make sure it's strategic. So I couldn't agree more with you.
And also with the US factor, like I have a client at the moment who has just been invited to speak at one of the biggest showcases in Las Vegas, which, as you know, can launch an entire US career.
Yes.
So she is paying the whole way herself. She is paying me extra coaching to make sure that she knocks it out of the park.
Yep.
And because she's also doing long haul over, they're giving her two spots, which is almost unheard of. But it's like the biggest showcase in the world. And so that is what I mean by strategically free.
Totally. Yep. 100%. That's where you're like, no's not even in the equation. It's like, yes, when do you need me there? And how fast can I get there? There's certain times, and be okay to be like, hey, I can get back to you. You don't have to say yes right away. Now let's jump into some of the biggest myths you see around speaking, specifically around who deserves to be on stage or to hold an audience. What myths do you see?
So people think that if they have a TEDx talk, they'll get automatic entry to every stage. Not true. Definitely not true. People think when they do a TEDx talk, they'll get paid to speak and their life will just open up. It's not true.
Yep.
TEDx talks should add to your ecosystem. Don't ever depend on them to grow your ecosystem. The other thing is, as far as who deserves to be on a stage, this is an interesting one because my perspective is anybody who is in service to an audience. So we just talked about then about you were about to say yes to the opportunity from an ego perspective. I realized I said yes to one of the ones I shouldn't have said yes to because ego was in control. I was running fast and didn't check it. But people who go on stage because they want their name in lights, people who get on stage, and even TEDx talks, like we get people go, oh my God, it's always been on my bucket list to do a TEDx talk. And it's like, but why? Oh no, it's just on my bucket list. No, but why? What is the idea that you're bringing to the world? And they can't tell you. It's just a bucket list thing.
Yeah.
And then I see a whole heap of brilliant people who think they're not good enough to get on the stage. So who deserves to be on stage? Anybody who has deep work experience, deep lived experience, or a really unique perspective that can shift somebody's thinking. And it's a really hard thing to define. We used to, when I first started this business, I had so many people with complete ego coming into this business. And now we have the opposite, which is why you felt what you felt at the conference, right? So it's people in service, people without ego, people who know that they have something that can change the game. So for example, what you brought to our conference, everybody walked out going, oh my goodness, not only do I know how to do that, I can do that. And so it's people who are in service. The other thing that I have a real passion about is we've got to stop trauma bonding from the stage.
Do you want to share a little bit more about what that means for you?
The emphasis on authentic has led us to this real and raw. And so, for example, you show up authentically. You're in your jeans, a great jacket, you throw your shoes off, you swear, like you are you, right? And that's authenticity. But people have blurred authenticity into being real and raw and telling their story. Now, Telling your story needs to be told when you can do it with strength, power, and grace. Telling your
Yes.
story needs to be told when you can bring back the wisdom and the insights to share. People talk about the hero's journey. They freaking forgot that the hero returns with the elixir to share. That means he returns with the lesson. I've been through the fire. This is what I learned, and this is what it can help you, right?
Yes.
So trauma bonding is particularly prevalent in a range of platforms, a range of events, a range of charity events. And what it means is that we're using these real and raw stories that are unhealed and leaking everywhere to get an audience to be empathetic, to fall in love with you as a person, to raise money, to open wallets. And there's this whole trauma bonding thing going on at the moment, and it's got to stop. You do not do your therapy from the stage.
That's similar to how I would define it. And I feel like that's a very dangerous position too, because if you have people who have a lived experience and they haven't worked through that themselves, you actually leave some of the audience in a worse position than in a better position. And as an ex-mental health clinician of 15 years, you can really fuck people up
Yeah,
because there's no
100%.
one there after to then go and debrief with or chat with or et cetera. And yes, and so it is a very, in my opinion, I agree, you need to have already healed to be able to tell that story versus still being in the middle of it.
Yeah, and it happens because people, when they're like coming out of the other side, they're through the worst of it. They're like, they know, they passionately believe. So it's not about their motivation because they passionately believe that their experience can help someone else.
Yes.
But what they don't realize is that it's like that whole thing of put your own oxygen mask on. You can't help others when you are still in the middle of it. And this whole your message actually has contributed to it. So I'm really passionate about that. The only time I ever regret having been on stage was I did a keynote about in the first year after my separation and divorce from my first husband. And I was definitely in the raw and the real, and I could feel it when I walked off the stage. Everybody, one, was stunned because I'd always been the ultimate professional, but it's the only one I regret because I was so raw and real. I literally couldn't hold my shit together, even though the topic was not even about what I was going through. We've got to stop allowing that to happen. I'm just going to rewind for a moment too. You mentioned like women getting paid, not getting paid, being valued as well. Just while the thought bubble's there, the only time that I am 100% in agreement with women being paid no matter what, it's on International Women's Day. We've got to stop. International Women's Day started as an advocacy thing to get women paid. It wasn't cupcakes and boardrooms, right? It was literally protests on the streets to get women paid in their jobs and things like that. So it's the one day where if you are ticketing an event at a price where you will make money, even if it's $10 a head, you should be paying your female speakers on that one day.
Absolutely. It's so important because men have also had to fight for things, but not like women. Do you know what I mean?
100%. No one has a bigger fight than the other, like gender or whatever gender you identify as these days. Like, nobody has a bigger fight than the other. We just have different fights. But this one is, that's important to me. And I'll always, you'll see me every year around Women's Day. I will have a rant about
But I think it's important
it.
because, again, that's where your passion lies. That's where impact happens. But also, that's like systemic change. It's not just because Jacqueline wants it. It's like, no, this was why it started. So, no, so great point on that one. Now, speaking of the world, and it has changed drastically, especially over the last few years. I think we talk often about COVID, but I really think COVID has been the trajectory for some of the crazy that's gone in the world over the last little while. But when you think specifically about speaking and how the speaking scene has changed over the last few years, what do you think people need to know now about getting started or continuing their speaking journey that may be different than what it was 5 years ago? Quick question. Have you ever spoken at an event, felt amazing, got great feedback, and then absolutely nothing happened? No leads, no bookings, no new clients, just applause and then absolute crickets. I see it happen all the time. Not because your talk wasn't good, but because most talks aren't built to do anything. That's why I have to tell you about Booked in 20, a powerhouse workshop created by my friend Jacqueline Brooker, who is a certified speaking professional and founder of Any Given Tuesday. Jacqueline has helped hundreds of entrepreneurs turn 20-minute talks, such as panels, guest spots, networking events, into four, five, and six figures revenue. And this workshop unpacks her full framework. So whether you speak often or know you need to start speaking, this will help you turn your voice into a serious business tool. She normally charges $100 for this particular workshop, but she's joined up with me to give you the opportunity to access this completely free. Just head to the show notes at angelahenderson.com.au, click on podcast episode 443, and you'll be able to access this workshop absolutely free. And watch how your next talk changes everything.
5 years ago, before everyone was pushed online, or 6 years ago, it wasn't as noisy. So now people think because they speak on YouTube or TikTok or videos or Instagram or LinkedIn, they think that they are a speaker, mm-hmm. right? And there is a difference, right? Uh-huh. So your marketplace is not enough anymore to say you're a speaker. You actually have to show up and be speaking. Mm-hmm. You actually have to be easily found and easily booked. Many people tell me they're a speaker. They don't have a speaker in their LinkedIn profile. I go to their website and the only way I can contact them is through a general email contact form. So you've got to be much easier for people to access and get hold of, whether it's you or your team, so they mm-hmm. can get a process rolling. The other thing is that the thing that has really changed is it was always, if you were going to be a great speaker, a good idea is not enough. You have to become good at the craft as well. That's yep. more important now. You actually have to be able to hold a room or an audience or a stage, no matter the size, mm-hmm. from start to finish. Our audience is more sophisticated, so you can't give them soundbites that they've heard on the internet. Mm. And you also have to give them something of value. So that was one of my early lessons 20, 25 years ago, was to really be remembered, you have to give them something that they can use, whether or not they ever see you again. Mm-hmm. And that is so that you can embed yourself into their cellular memory. Since the last 5 or 6 years, that's more important. Like, some of the most inspirational, motivational speakers on the planet are falling away because they just bring inspiration. So people now want inspiration and motivation wrapped around something I can go and use. So the mantra that we share is, what will they hear from you today that they can use tomorrow and share the next? So you've got to be generous. Mm-hmm. You've got to give something of value. And you've got to wrap it up in the craft of storytelling.
And I know a good friend of mine, Jordan Gill, over in the US, she's on about 8 or 9 different stages this year. And she said one of the big things that she's seeing at the moment is it can't just be the same speakers doing the same keynotes over and over. People want different. And so even with my conference, for example, we had other people say like, hey, can we come back? Can we do this? And I said, listen, I can't. We had someone speak about that last year. And not that your content isn't going to be fresh, but we can't have similar and we want different faces on the stage. And they're like, oh, okay. And I've been recommended a lot of people who are same, same. They are on lots of stages. But I'm like, it's now oversaturated. So what, because they're using the same content. So what yeah. Jordan was saying is your content has to also be fresh. It has to be exciting. And it has to, again, not have been heard on 50 different stages so that the audience is then bored going, I've already heard this. They are looking yeah. for different. That's what she's reporting from the US anyways.
Yeah. So I have a thing around that. So to be rebookable and referable, you actually have to have most of your content similar, right? Uh-huh. Because if someone pulls you in from a stage that they've seen, unless they've had a briefing call with you and said, I want this, they're expecting you to be similar. So we have a thing around it where there's a 10 to 15% local change out rule. Uh-huh. And that can be a story, that can be something that you're sharing in the middle, that can be your wisdom or insights. But there's this balance we've got to walk. Now, when you're at the top of your game, which she is, you are doing that, right? Everything is bespoke. Everything is, there's a through line that stays the same. Mm. But to get breakthrough for most of us, it's 10 to 15% change out so that we are dependable and referable. But if you're on big stages and you're on conference stages, you have to be fresh. And this is why some of the speakers, the top speakers in Australia now, are starting to fall away because they don't adapt, mm-hmm. right? It's the same thing they've been doing for 7 to 8 years. They've done it everywhere. And that worked before COVID. Mm-hmm. But now I want to know that you understand who I am as your audience. Mm-hmm. So that absolutely is a change. But also too, it's this like, and I noticed it myself. I was at a big conference in the US last year and they opened with these really like world-class motivational speakers. Les Brown was one. There was a couple of others. And I was just thinking to myself, where are we taking it from here? If this is the opening, right? And they closed with two subject matter, the last two keynotes were two subject matter experts mm-hmm. who just blew your freaking minds. And that's what we've got to think about. Like, how do we change how people think? And you don't do that. I love the quote. I think it was Zig Ziglar or someone like that. He said, they say that we need motivation, daily. We don't all need motivation, because if you motivate an idiot, all you've got in your hands now is a motivated idiot. We don't need just motivation. We're looking now because we want to know what's real, right? We've got COVID changed our life. Then we got AI changing everything. So we want to know what's real. So we want to know that we can take what you give us and actually do something with it. And that is a big change. So regardless of whether it's fresh content or not, give people things that can change something for them, because that's what we're craving.
Absolutely. And I think my whole thing is, like you said, are you leaving them better off? And will they share this with someone else? And that's my whole notion with when I do my own keynotes or even with my conferences. I want people to, if they never come back in my space again and never buy anything again and I never see anything again, I want them to feel seen. I want them to feel heard. I want them to feel transformed. And I want them to go, like, there's a little bit of Angela's DNA now ingrained in them for the good. And
absolutely.
That's where, like, even with my conference, and you'll see this year when you're there, is like, it's very different than the average conference. And I don't just say that as a cliche, but it is. People are going, "Ange, I've never seen anything done like this before." So yes, we've got our speakers, but the way that we do it and how we start from day one to day three, it is about moving people to a better place, their own space, their own, whatever that works for them. But yeah, we want them to remember us, not just that day, but forever. So yeah, no, so I get it. And that's just not just in speaking, but that's just an environment. And I think people are looking for that. People are craving that.
I love that what you just said about, it's not just about speaking, it's about environment. This is what people lose sight of when they're worried about how they're going to show up, how they're going to perform, whether people are going to like them. If you are the speaker, if you're at the front of a room, any room, from two people to 2,000, you are creating the environment and setting the energy. You are the orchestra, you are the conductor, you are the thermostat. And one of the best pieces of advice I got years ago, it was support speaker to a keynote speaker from the US, did a roadshow of 5 events. And the first 3 events, he was like, "Man, I don't know why you're not on the American circuit with me. You should come back to New York with me," right? Every event, every time. And then on the fourth day, I walked in, it was a room about 250 people. They still loved me, but it was one of those rooms that was just, you know, flat, a bit shitty. And I responded to it. I was still really good, but I was very conscious of it. I didn't respond to it, but I was really conscious of it. And at the end, he's standing at the back of the room with his finger, like, telling me to come towards him. And he's like, "Let's walk the hallways." And I was like, "Okay, great." Because I knew walking the hallways meant advice. And I was like, ready for some more, like, you know, "Why are you not in the US?" He goes, "Now I know why you're not in the US. I'm like, "Why?" He goes, "Shit room, wasn't it?" I'm like, "Yeah, really shit room." He goes, "Yeah." He said, "Your responsibility as a speaker is not to respond to the energy room, it is to set the energy of the room."
Yes.
And he said, "Until you know that to the core of your being, you will never break through." And so that environment that you're talking, and you know that we created the same thing in our conference as well. That environment is actually why speaker curation is really important. Because the person at the front of the room is not there to facilitate how people feel. They're there to take people to a different place.
100%. And that's why, like, and you've been to many events over in the US too. If you and I open the same way that a lot of the events in the US open, are because we know our audience, does that make sense?
Yes.
Is that I know for a fact it wouldn't work for my people in that room. Big, and I remember specifically attending Social Media Marketing World, and they have about 5,000 people attend their events. And I remember there was about, well, obviously I'm Canadian and I've lived in America, but there was about 8 of us Aussies walking up the escalator, and they had high five people. That's literally what their job was for the conference. They just walked around high fiving people. And the Aussies were like, "If one more fucking person asks me to high five them or squeal, they're like, I'm going to like drop kick someone," because it was too much for the Aussie culture. They just could not cope with like this. And it was overstimulated. You felt like you were at Disneyland, and that's okay, because that works for their environment. And a lot of the speakers have to bring that type of energy, or else people drop because they are expecting that high energy. Whereas Aussies, I find they still want the energy, but they still have a little bit of calmness in them, right? So you do have to be able to set that stage for them, own the stage, like you said, that thermostat. But in America, the thermostat is very different to the Aussie thermostat, in my opinion. Do you know?
And it's different again when you go to Asia. It's really different when you go to Asia. New Zealand's different again. Like, even Australia to New Zealand is totally different.
Yep. No, this has been such a great conversation. Now, we will start to wrap up, but there's a few more questions that I still am chopping at the bit to get. And I know you've done the work. You've gotten on multiple stages around the world. But one of the things that I'm also about is being like working smarter, not harder. And so when you think about your presentation, your speech that you get, how can people then leverage this, like post the event? Can they leverage it on socials? Can they, like, what else can they be doing so they're not having to keep repeating, but they can just like leverage the content long-term?
Yeah, there's three key things that you can do there that I'm happy to chat about now. And the first one is make sure that someone records it or gets photos, whether it's official or not, and you can repurpose that as reels, as trailers, as all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. The other thing is leverage points on socials, and especially with speaking, and if you've got a business, use Instagram if it's coaching based, but everything else go LinkedIn. But do mm-hmm. real-time documentation, like channel Gary Vee. Mm-hmm. So take the selfie with the organizer, take the quick reel of walking into the venue and the event, tag the organizers, tag the event, do all that sort of stuff. Do this real-time documentation and take selfies with audience members and get them to post it, send it to them so they can post it. That's that kind of the social side of it. Mm-hmm. Then the other thing is the thing that we've always got the biggest results from is actually the golden minute, which is when you come off stage. Mm-hmm. And so when you come off stage, and also if you land something really well, you should have 15 to 20% of the room actually can't wait to get away from you.
Yep.
The people in the middle of it will actually, if you walk past and say, hey, great presentation, Ange, really loved this.
Yep.
And then 15 to 20% of the room should run towards you, right? And what people will say, someone will come and say, Ange, I loved your presentation. You say, oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much. And you might say, so long as it makes a difference, or as long as you got something out of it, or I'm just here to, like, you know, make a difference. What you need to say instead of is, thank you so much. I'd love to know, what was it that got your attention?
Mm-hmm. Great question.
Then they will actually give you a response. And from that, you can actually say, I'm super curious, what's going on in your world right now that got your attention? Now, the best result we've had out of that is somebody picking up a seven-figure contract to deliver their training to salons for L'Oreal in the US. But people, that's where you pick up the six-figure contracts and the ongoing relationships. And there's a whole heap of management around that mm-hmm. and how you actually deal with it. But the golden minute straight after, stop saying thank you. And I'm so grateful. So long as you got something out of it, if I can just make a difference to someone, stop it. That's about you. What specifically got your attention? And flick it back to them, and you will be dumbfounded by what they tell you, and you'll be dumbfounded by the amount of people that you do business with.
But also it gives you clues, right? Clues yeah. of like, oh, I could talk about that a little bit more, or maybe no one said this, maybe I take something out. There's different clues that those conversations have that will allow you to be even better. And I'm a very big believer about do better, be better. Yeah. There's always room for that. No, so I love that. Now, speaking of getting booked, one of my final questions though is, there are people out there that will be listening. They'll be like, I know I'm great at what I do. I'm amazing. Mm-hmm. Everyone should hear me. But what's the gap, do you think, between being great at what you do and getting booked to actually speak about it? Because you might be great, but I know lots of people who are great and they're not speaking on any stages. So what do you think that gap is?
There's a couple of things in that gap. The first thing is that just because you're good at what you do, ideas and experience don't get booked. You've got to find a way to translate that into the problem you solve for an audience and for an organizer. Mm-hmm. That's number one. So stop expressing your ideas and your experience and start selling the problem that you solve through mm-hmm. that ideas and experience. Mm-hmm. The other thing is even if you're speaking for free, have the collateral. We have a thing called minimum viable launch, which is the first level of collateral for a speaker. And even if you're speaking for free forever at networking events just to grow your business, you should have it. So a reel where they can get to know you, which is a speaking reel. And there's ways that we can do that if you've not spoken on stages. We have strategies around all of this. Mm. Then there is the story or introduction reel. They're two different things. People think a speaker reel is a story reel. It is not, mm-hmm. right? A speaker reel is what gets you booked by the client. Mm-hmm. Then three IP videos. You need to have a one sheet. I don't care who you are. You need to actually have a speaking page on your website. And you need to say you're a speaker on LinkedIn and pin your one sheet and your reel to the featured media and LinkedIn, right? Mm-hmm. You need to be findable. Most people say, I'm a speaker, and like they don't have a speaker in their SEO, they don't have it in their title. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get booked, actually act like you want to get booked.
Yes, absolutely. And again, energy, I'm a very big, what are you telling the universe or religion, whatever you believe in, what are you calling in if you're not doing these yeah. things? The universe goes, well, I guess you don't really want it. Because you yeah. don't have the speaker page, you don't have the story reel, you don't have the speaker reel. So we're not going to send you people because you're not prepared for them anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing I would say, if you're speaking for free and there's a benefit to that, is have an agreement in place, mm-hmm. right? We have templated agreements for all of our clients that they obviously build on and get legal review. I'm not a lawyer, but we have templated agreements as a starting point. And if you are speaking for free, you still send an agreement mm-hmm. that has your normal fee in it, and you strike it out with a zero balance, and then you list the things that you and the organizer have agreed. So formal conference agreements are quite long and detailed, but if you're speaking for a free local networking event, have a one pager. Everybody signs off on with the agreed benefits for everyone or responsibilities or whatever. There's so many times that people will call me and say, I spoke to this thing and they promised me that. And I'm like, where's your agreement? Or where's at least your email confirming it? Right. So if you want to be booked to speak, behave like a speaker, whether you're free or paid.
100%. No, I love that. Now, this has been awesome, as always, when I get to hang out with you. So for the listeners wanting to connect with you, where can they find you and what's going on in your world?
The best way to find us is actually via LinkedIn, Jacqueline Booker. Everything goes via LinkedIn. And we also, our website is anygiventuesday.com.au. We've just launched an event called Mic Club, which is a series of breakfast events running across the country. So all the details can be found there. And we have a massive showcase event coming up, actually the day before your conference, which is in Brisbane. So anyone who wants to get along to that, it's a fantastic day of professional development, and all the details will be live by the time this podcast episode drops.
All right. Love it. This is absolutely amazing. And if you're wanting to be able to impact people, make more money, and just be relish in that awesomeness of your voice, and you want to be a speaker, regardless of that small stages, big stages, Australia, global, etc., make sure to connect with the amazing Jacqueline. But before we wrap up, one final question. Looking back on your business journey, what do you know now that you wish you knew when you first started out in business?
That it's not a straight line. I think I would have been a lot more forgiving of myself if I'd known at the start. And it doesn't matter what you think about your product and service, the market will tell you if they want it.
100% they will. They will always tell you, even if you don't like what they're telling you, they will always tell you.
Yeah,
now, this
absolutely.
Has been absolutely amazing. Make sure that you go and connect with Jacqueline. She's also going to be at the 3-Day Women in Business Conference. She is one of our main sponsors, which we are just delighted to have her there. So if you are in Australia, we only have 35 tickets left at time of recording today. That is all that we've got left. So if you're wanting to connect with Jacqueline, myself, and other amazing humans, make sure to head to angelahenderson.com.au. But for now, Jacqueline, thank you so much for your wisdom, your professionalism, and also for advocating for women to be able to use their voice and do it in a way that works for them. So thank you so much. And I hope you have the most amazing day.
You too, Angela.
Thanks for listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, www.angelahenderson.com.au.